It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Ahead of the elk hunt that opens next month and breeding season underway, we explore the management of herds in Wisconsin and challenges with the population. You can be part of the discussion by calling in with a question or sharing your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Josh Spiegel is a Hayward-based wildlife biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Josh, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, good morning. Appreciate you guys reaching out and allowing me to come on.
Absolutely. Let's talk elk here, native to Wisconsin. Some backstory, though. They were wiped out by unregulated hunting and loss of habitat more than a century ago. How important are elk to our state's ecosystem?
Yeah, so really, it goes even beyond the state of Wisconsin here. So, back in the late 1800s, elk historically roamed most of eastern U.S. and Wisconsin being no differently. We had elk from basically north to south, east to west, and a large ungulate like that used our fairly open landscape, mostly in the southern two-thirds of the state and the timbers of the Northwoods, et cetera. You know, they were a staple of the landscape for a long period of time. And unfortunately, like you mentioned, unregulated hunting was the main reason we kind of lost them here from our landscape.
Okay, so they were a staple of the landscape. And then in the early 1900s, there was this failed reintroduction of elk that was attempted with animals from Yellowstone National Park. Where did the elk now, the elk that we have now in Wisconsin come from?
Yeah, so you hit it right on the head there. So in the 1910s, much of the eastern U.S. was getting elk from Yellowstone National Park, attempting to do the same thing Wisconsin did through reintroduction efforts using Rocky Mountain elk from out west. And one of the states, you mentioned Wisconsin's first failed attempt. One of the other states that received elk was Michigan, and Michigan received 7 elk about that same time frame as Wisconsin, and their herd took off from that 7. To fast forward a bunch of years, once their herd kind of established a strong number, they donated elk to the state of Wisconsin in 1995 after some legislative work was completed looking at feasibility to bring back a large ungulate. What the state of Wisconsin did was look at bringing back or improving the habitat for reintroduction efforts related to moose, woodland caribou, or elk. Unfortunately, moose and woodland caribou, there are a lot of different factors that played into that just didn't make it feasible. But elk are a strong generalist species that can live in a lot of different habitat types. So that kind of moved us forward. So we were able to get on with the state of Michigan, and we started our first modern day reintroduction effort as kind of an experiment in 1995 with 25 elk from Michigan.
Okay, so that brings us to today. There are now 2 herds of elk here in Wisconsin. Approximately how many elk does each herd include?
Yeah, you're right. So we've got 2 herds. One we call the northern herd. That would be up in my greater area. For anyone familiar with Clam Lake, Wisconsin, or parts of Ashland, Bayfield, Sawyer, Rusk, and Price counties, that herd is made up of about 355 animals at our high point estimate this year. And then we have a second herd that was started in 2015 and 16 in Jackson County, or just east of Black River Falls, Wisconsin. And that group has an estimate this year of about 160. So we're looking about 515 statewide as our what we call our post-calving estimate. So what we expect the most amount of animals this year to be.
We're talking about elk in Wisconsin with the state DNR wildlife biologist Josh Spiegel is here and fielding your questions along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Josh, it sounds like you have a pretty good feel for the estimate of elk. How does the DNR estimate herd size?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So Unlike most of the animals that we have in the state, you know, I'll take white-tailed deer, for example. There's so many on the landscape that you know, we have a pretty wide range for estimate. Elk, because they're localized in a couple different areas, they're a herd-associated animal. So usually if you see one or two, you're probably going to see a group of elk. So we have the ability to use a lot of different mechanism to do that. We do a lot of hands-on work. So in the winter time, we have the ability to put radio tracking collars on our elk. We have probably about 25 to maybe 30% of the population, 30% being about the top end, collared for monitoring and tracking reasons, and we get a ton of data from that. And then we also do other things like drone surveys, airplane surveys, field surveys where we go out and observe the elk. We get information from a lot of different partners or other people in the area that kind of share groups, you know, different landowners that see elk on a regular basis. So there's a ton of different factors that go into that. And at the end of the year, we draw all that information together and we put that in our population model, which projects some of our recruitment inputs, mortality factors, all that different things that go into population estimates for a given year.
I saw a snapshot Wisconsin trail camera photo of a group of elk in Sawyer County, and you could see the radio collars and their ID tag. So I would imagine that that is really helpful to figure out where they're going and kind of what they're doing.
100%. So Snapshot Wisconsin, not only for elk, but has provided a ton of information in wildlife management here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, it's the use of a remote game camera that can be checked infrequently throughout the year. And that thing's collecting data 24/7. You know, the eyes are always on, per se. And from the same sense, we get a lot of private landowners. We do operate some other cameras for specific needs within the project that we establish at different points of the year. So the use of those remote cameras is amazing what we can do. And like you said, you get some pretty cool pictures out of it too.
So the number of elk in the state falls below the goal of 1,400. Why is 1,400 the target elk population?
Well, so that's not the statewide goal. 1,400 would be our goal for just the northern range. So when we wrote our original elk management plan, we're trying to stay about one elk per square mile. When we expanded that range, we decided that we're going to keep the elk population goal the same. So in 2012, we expanded our elk management zone in the north by 508 square miles, totaling a little better than 1,600 square miles. So now we're at a little less than one elk per square mile, and that was kind of based on suitable habitat within that elk range on the landscape. So there's a lot of stuff mixed in there, you know, lakes, et cetera, that kind of eat up space but don't count towards landscape habitat.
With the landscape habitat, is climate change affecting elk?
Yeah, so it's more affecting the landscape in which the elk live in. So we work very close with our foresters, kind of looking into how they're planning on managing the forest moving forward through climate change, et cetera. But elk are an extremely hardy animal on both sides of those equations. So there's elk found in portions of Mexico, there's elk found in Canada, East Coast, West Coast. You know, they're very adaptive species.
Josh Spiegel with us, wildlife biologist at the State Department of Natural Resources. You can be part of the discussion on elk. Call in with a question or share comments at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As elk breeding activity occurs in the fall and the elk hunt opens next month, we explore Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources efforts to try to help the elk herds thrive around the state with DNR wildlife biologist Josh Spiegel with us. And you can join the conversation. Call in with a question or comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mary in Menominee has a question. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to know how the wolf population is affecting the elk population.
Josh, what can you tell us?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Mary. Wolves are the number one predator that that elk do see in the state. But, you know, one of the main reasons for that is after about 3 months of age, a wolf is the only thing that can really take down an adult elk or an elk even past that time frame. So we do see other predation before that, you know, within the first few weeks. Usually we see bear. You know, there's potential for coyote, etc., through that. But once they move on, they're the only predator on the landscape. So they do have an impact, but they are a natural predator of elk throughout the U.S. So it's not specific to the state of Wisconsin. And the other thing with that is elk being a herd associated animal, you know, every group has a large set of eyes, ears, and noses out there looking across the landscape, et cetera. So we do see wolf predation on elk. It kind of ebbs and flows throughout the year. Most of the year, the elk have the high advantage. They're a big, strong animal, again, with all those sensory features on them. And they move long distances. You know, they can pick up and move 4, 5, 6 miles overnight with no problem at all. So we do see that. Usually the difficult time of year comes late winter when the snow kind of crusts. You can think of those elk legs kind of like pencils punching through the snow. That tends to be more difficult for them and kind of gives the advantage to wolves at that time. But otherwise, elk do very well across the landscape. They kind of settle in between wolf pack territories.
All right, Mary, thank you so much for the call. So we're learning that they're flexible with their habitat, they're agile. And when you say big, how big is an elk compared to moose and white-tailed deer?
Yeah, no, great question, Kate. So elk are going to be about 3 to 4 times the size of a large white-tailed deer. They, you know, a cow will range about 500 to 600 pounds, 500 to 650, somewhere in there. And then a bull elk is typically going to be somewhere about 700-800 pounds, maybe up to 900 pounds in size. So at the end of the day, they're going to be about 2/3 the size of an adult moose. And again, about 3 to 4 times the size of a white-tailed deer.
Wow. Well, let's turn to the elk hunting season that opens October 14th. And in May, the DNR awarded elk hunting licenses to 4 randomly selected hunters. And you had more than 21,000 people applying. Why schedule a hunt when the total number of elk is below targets?
So that's a very common question that we get. So with elk management and the opportunity to pursue a game animal, part of our management plan is to provide that recreation to hunters on the landscape. With elk not being at population goal, isn't a super big thing because elk are harem breeders. So one particular bull can breed many, many cows in a given year. And what that means is there tends to be a surplus of bulls on the landscape. So there's bulls out there that may never become a harem bull and do a majority of the breeding and pass their genes along. So allowing a hunt to occur also ensures genetic mixing. You know, you don't have the same bull breeding the same cows year after year after year. And that's very important as we've introduced new genetics into our population. So in 2015, 16, 17, and 19, elk were brought into the state of Wisconsin to establish the Black River group, the Jackson County herd, as well as supplement the Northern herd. So hunting also allows us to continue mixing those genetics, getting bigger and stronger animals.
Were you surprised by the number of applications, or is that pretty typical?
I think I'm kind of indifferent on them. So the very first year we opened the hunt in 2018, We had just shy of 40,000 applicants, you know, the very first year, kind of inaugural hunt. And then since then, it's floated right around 25,000 a year. When you think about recreation stance, you know, the king in the state of Wisconsin is whitetail deer hunting. And we have over 700,000 deer hunters that venture into the woods during the fall months to pursue deer any given year. So, you know, 25,000 people putting in for elk isn't really that much compared to a whitetail hunters, but it's a very large number of people in general across the state.
Oh, thanks for that perspective. As we talk about elk in Wisconsin, we have State DNR wildlife biologist Josh Spiegel fielding your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mitch in Middleton. Mitch, hi.
Hey, Kate. Hey, Josh. Just wondering if CWD or chronic wasting disease is affecting the elk population in Wisconsin.
Is chronic wasting disease affecting elk, Josh?
Yeah, thanks, Mitch. So at this point in time, we have not had a positive test within our elk herd, the northern or the central herds here in the state of Wisconsin. But we continue to monitor where it is in the deer population. You know, that's something not only for local wildlife, but elk that we wanna maintain as well. And to ensure that, we test as many elk as we can throughout the year. So our CWD test that we do obviously comes from elk that have incurred some type of mortality. So it's mandatory for all of our elk hunters that harvest an elk that we pull that sample if we have vehicle collisions or a different mortality factor that animal could have a viable sample taken from. We take and test that animal for CWD, and it has not been found in elk in Wisconsin to this point.
In terms of those collisions, the breeding season upon us, and that could lead to more people traveling to where herds are located, hoping to see elk. What do drivers need to know about how to avoid hitting elk?
Yeah, first and foremost, again, how large they are. A lot of people that we kind of have communications with, they, you know, they're used to seeing white-tailed deer. You know, they dart across the roads, running back and forth, whatever they might do. And elk typically don't run. Usually if you see elk, they're just going to kind of lumber around. If cows have calves, the calf might dart around. But those adult animals, they're just going to kind of lumber around and walk. They know they're the biggest thing on the landscape. So they're not really too interested in expending different energy. So the best recommendation we have for people is keep your eyes open, you know, looking in on the roadway, obviously, but within the ditches, and just exercise caution in areas that we have elk. We made a big effort a couple of years back to do a bunch of roadway signing. So similar to the white-tailed deer crossings in the state, we have signs that say elk crossing area. And usually those are good areas people want to practice a little extra caution for elk. If you do have a passenger, it's not a bad idea to, you know, to have another set of eyes out looking and maybe the ditch etches, et cetera, like that. But typically speaking, we hope to avoid these issues by having better habitat away from the highways.
Do you have a most memorable encounter with an elk in Wisconsin that you can share?
I think I would probably say I have too many to even remember, but just being part of the Kentucky reintroduction effort and working with another state agency that has elk and the intricacies that kind of go with that as a whole is definitely a career highlight from my point of view.
You know, elk out west, they have migration patterns as they kind of follow food they want in the winter. Do our elk have any type of migration tendencies?
Not really. So here in the state of Wisconsin, within both ranges, we have what's called all-season habitat. So in the summertime, elk are going to forage primarily on grasses, forbs, lightly on kind of some woody browse. And that's going to be available throughout the entire growing season and even on the fringes. You know, as soon as snow goes out, they're going to be chewing on last year's grass, etc. When wintertime comes, they kind of transition to more browse. In the early snow, they'll still dig down to the grasses and eat there, but then they'll transition to woody browse. So the woody shoot ends, buds, etc. on tree branches. So they're gonna eat on that primarily over winter. And they have that ability within both ranges. Timber management is really big. So primary landowners across the ranges include like the U.S. Forest Service, Wisconsin DNR, local county forest governments. We have some tribal lands, etc. And all those folks actively practice proper silvicultural practices.
Josh, thank you for joining us.
No problem at all.
Josh Spiegel is a Hayward-based wildlife biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.